What's up, guys? Thanks for coming to our Kaafa and Miss You podcast. Here, you will find resources to help you grow in real devotion, real community, and real responsibility, so you can learn to love Jesus, not just for a season, but for a lifetime. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
So if you don't know me, my name's Joseph Hernandez. I'll give you some background. I was born here in Massachusetts, went to school at MSU around, what year did we graduate? Like 2014? I don't know. I'm 27 years old, or I think I'm going to be 27. I don't know, certainly knows the answer. but I'm going to be 27, which is pretty crazy. I have more things in common with a 30-year-old. My barber's like 33, and we both got hyped about Harry Potter, which I don't know if you guys are hyped, but I know when I was like younger, like the first movie, you were like, I'm waiting for my letter. I don't know if you grew up Christian. Some of you guys probably don't know what I'm talking about. Growing up in the church, I know witchcraft and wizardry. But nonetheless, yeah. So I graduated at NMSU. I did not grow up Christian, as you can tell. I watched Harry Potter. So, lived. Next slide. I don't know if you can see it, but I used to. Gosh, is it really loud? I feel like it's in my ears. I grew up. Yeah, honestly, I partied. I drank. I was a stoner. I was pretty much high all day. I think from eighth grade to my freshman year in college, I don't remember not ever being high. Wake up, get high. Lunch, get high. Like, yeah, I was like beyond a stoner. You would definitely never catch me in a church whatsoever. I don't think I didn't like. Yeah, I got to a point where I didn't believe in God at all, and I would actually challenge people that believed in God. But my parents got saved around the time I came to college. Drastic change. Dad was alcoholic, drug addict, all the things. Mom was very depressed because Dad was very horrible. But nonetheless, they got saved, and they kept going to church, and kept inviting me, kept getting mad, kept getting annoyed. But one day, for some reason, which really was not some reason, but a lot of choices in my life that I did not feel complete. And honestly, at that point, I wouldn't be able to tell you that I wanted more and I was looking for more, but me walking in that church was me wanting more. And yeah, so that's a little bit of me at the beginning. But now I have a wife. That's what you get when you get God. No, I'm just kidding. No, you get a lot more. But yeah, I have a wife. Her name is Sonia. She is the strongest woman I know. She's honestly stronger than me mentally and emotionally. She is the rock of the house and takes care of me and Santi's emotions. Because Santi is very adventurous and likes all the exciting things and cuddles, just like much of the boys your guys' age, but he's 18, or 18 months, not 18. So, yeah, nonetheless. But, yeah, so me and Sonia got married, met in Chi Alpha here, and so... But yeah, we met here at Chi Alpha. Did not like her when I first met her, to be honest. She didn't like me either, so nonetheless. But we went on this weird random date. Don't know why. But then we started talking about God. This is around the time that I got saved, and I don't know where she was at, but I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know if you love Jesus. I don't know what we're doing. But nonetheless, she fell in love with the Lord, and we are paths crossed again. But yeah, so married, we have this beautiful little boy, Santiago. If you get to meet him, he will run away from you. He's pretty shy, and is clean to me. But that's a little bit of me. I wanted to share who I was and what I've gone through and what I've done, just so that you can know who is up here. Cool?
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. In the last few weeks, if you have not been here, we have been looking at what the world tells us. It has said, truth is your own. The answer to your problems is happiness. And the world is in chaos, so just enjoy it. But yeah, and all that information is being shared through the Black Mirror, which is your phone, is what we've been saying. Everything you receive is from your phone, whether or not you like it. I'm a film major. A lot of culture is put back into you guys through movies, superhero movies, through shows, through social media. So what you are being fed is what the culture is today. Does that make sense? So that's what we've been going over. Taylor and Shannon have been doing a great job at showing that there is something better, something to be offered, and it is not a thing, it is not an idea, it's not a philosophy, it's not a new habit, it's not a high, it's not a boyfriend, it's not a girlfriend, it's a person, his name is Jesus. So there's a lot. Jesus is very personal, and I don't know if I can do all of how I know him justice today, but I hope that tonight that you get to meet him if you have not met him, and if you do know him, that you would see a new light of him. But cool, as we hold Jesus up to the world, I would like everyone, and I mean everyone, whether you're Christian, not Christian, whatever you are, to ask yourself, who do you trust? Who do you trust? And keep asking yourself that. Who do you trust and why should you trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust the authorities of this world? Do you trust mom and dad? Do you trust the NMSU? Do you trust NMSU parking? NMSU financial aid? Do you trust our government? Do you trust the information that's being shared on your social media? Do you trust friends? And so forth and so forth. Ask yourself, who do you trust? But anyways, let's get into this. Taylor last week talked about how this idea of being unsatisfied will always be a thing. There's always going to be another mountain, I believe he used. In my mind, what I thought of, there's always going to be another uphill battle. But it's the climb. I don't know who catches that. But we all know that that's not satisfying. But then Shannon talked about we need something or someone to sustain our lives, to sustain who we are. Both those ideas are characteristics of what it is to have food. We all know that there's a basic need out there, is we need to eat or we will die. But has any of us ever been truly hungry? I know for the most part, unless I intentionally did do it, I have not been hungry. I've always at least had a tortilla with butter, ramen, or if I had a little cash, I had a $5 box from Taco Bell. But I have been fortunate enough not to be hungry. And for many of you, it has been the same. For most people, we can usually get food. Hunger is an uncomfortable or painful physical sensation caused by insufficient consumption of a dietary energy. It causes you to feel anxious, you lose weight, you become more thirsty, and it hurts. But most of us have never felt this way over food, and some might have But we are not here to talk about actual hunger. We are here to talk about spiritual hunger. The Bible loves to use imagery to help us understand the things of God. And one of those imageries is food and eating. We'll look at some verses that show that. In Isaiah 55, it says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water, and you without silver, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without silver and without cost." It's kind of weird. "Why do you spend silver on what is not food, and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live." Then fast forward to one of the known miracles. Oh, actually, I've skipped a verse. We're going to go backwards to Genesis. At the beginning of the Bible, the second chapter, it talks about food. It says, "God created every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food." That's pretty cool. God created every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food. Then, let's fast forward. To one of the known miracles of Jesus, where he feeds thousands of people. And then, after he feeds thousands of people, he gets pretty tired because he just fed thousands of people with a little bit. And so he finds himself to go across. There were all these people that he fed, 5,000 people to be exact. All of them, they were right next to pretty much a lake. And so he goes across it. But he doesn't go across it the normal way because he told his disciples to go ahead. He needed to go spend time in prayer with the Father. He goes across it by walking across it. He walks across it. Now, I know what I'm saying sounds crazy, but again, we were talking about God. But he walks across it, and the next morning, the people that he just fed ask, "Where are you, Jesus?" They look, and they're like, "Where the heck did this guy go?" So they're looking, and they finally find him, and they ask him a question. They say, "Teacher, where and how did you get here?" Essentially, how did you get here? Jesus doesn't respond with an answer. He says, "Truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which is the Son of Man will give you, because God has gave him approval on him." And the people were confused. And they go back and forth in dialogue with Jesus, and they're like, "How are you this bread? How are you what we want? What do you mean you are what we want?" And he's saying, "I am what you want." The people were not happy. They asked him, they go, "Give us a sign then, if this is what we're looking for." They literally asked him to give them a sign. And he just fed them 5,000 with like 4 loaves of bread and fish. He just fed 5,000 people. And they're like, "Give us a sign that you are who you say you are." It's pretty wild. And then he walks across and they're like, "Give us a sign." And Jesus says what he says, which is, "I am what you're looking for," continually. And a bunch of people stopped following him. They did not like that. So, they didn't like it because they didn't want it. It wasn't what they were looking for, according to them. So who was right? Jesus? Because Jesus said that's what they were looking for. But before we decide, let's understand what the Bible and Jesus is trying to tell us. And if we can come to an agreement with it. The truth that we can understand is that we all hunger. and we need to eat. Again, like I said, a basic need of life. But what we also can agree on is that the way we go through life is actually wanting more, right? Like Taylor said, there's always going to be something you want more after the next thing. You're going to want money. And if the money doesn't work, you're going to want something more. Most people in the top 1% are actually pretty depressed. There's a lot of people that reach success and then they get depressed because they go, what more than after? Michael Jordan has a quote about how he gets 6 rings and they ask him, how do you feel about it? He said, I wish there was one more. You know, dude, you're not satisfied with 6. but nonetheless, we always want more. And the world believes that that should be a constant state. That's just natural to want more. That it's okay, you know? If that didn't satisfy, I'll find something else. And if that didn't satisfy, I will find something else again. The cry of the world is, I want to share this song. Anthony, you could play it and put the lyrics. I don't know if you put it, but you'll hear it in movies, you'll hear it in shows, you'll hear it in high school. I want a boyfriend, I want to be known, I want friends, I want, you name it, I want to be popular, I want football. Then after that in college, right, I want to graduate, I want this, I want that. And so the hunger never stops. Anthony, you got the song wrote? Not yet? Say for sure if he's Christian or not, but what I do know about his story is he sings for a lot of brave people. For Avicii, he's like gone to Tomorrowland, which I don't know if any of you guys know that. I used to be a raver, I used to do a lot of things. but Tomorrowland was a pinnacle thing. But nonetheless, he used to be the dude that would go party and have all the fun, and he was like, what next? And a lot of his songs now are him trying to figure it out. And it's pretty crazy. The song says, what if I, who I hoped to be was always me. He says, what if the love I feel was that I always wanted was free? What if all the things I've done were attempts at earning love? What if I were to try to go was always here? And the path I've tried to cut was always clear. And he says, why has life become a plan to put money in my hand? And honestly, his is very clear, but every love song, every song, rap song about money, every country song, it's not about back road, but back road means they want something more. Again, it is in our culture, it's an idea, but it sounds very much, this song sounds very much, again, can you pull up Isaiah 55? Huh? It says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you without silver, come buy indeed. come buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Now, I know at this time, buying wine and milk isn't what you guys are trying to buy, but back then, it was a big deal. It says, why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what do not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. So, like I said, we all know that we're hungry, right? That we're hungry. Another word for this is desire. Taylor last week taught us that desire is not bad. It's good to have, right? Desire to go to school, desire to have kids, have a family, have a future, have a job, Taylor said. None of those things are bad. It's crazy, the Bible even says that desire is not bad as well. It says in that second chapter, God created every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food. So he created us that way. The tree was not only good to eat, but it was pleasing to the eyes. Scripture talks about how the world attests this to him. That when you can go out there and look at the sunset and you're like, man, that feels like an intellectual design. There's some artistry there. When you go to Yosemite, when you go to the Grand Canyon, you're like in awe and amazement. But it's nice, right? It's pleasing. Pleasing to our eyes. So, desire's not bad, but then what happened? What happened? What is going on? Because we all can say that we're hungry, but we're not being fed. We're not being satisfied. And Taylor said last week, which is a known fact, that everyone's in the pursuit of happiness, but we are actually having more anxiety than we ever had, and there is more depression than we ever had. So what happened? Well, for us to understand this, we have to go to Genesis. We have to go to the beginning. And so the way we need to interpret this and the way that we need to look at Genesis is you guys need to know that just because it is a story does not mean it's not true. Does that make sense? So I can tell you about how I brushed my teeth aggressively and it felt as if I was puncturing my teeth left and right with bristles so aggressive that it felt like I was fighting a lion. And that's what happened this morning. Was it or was it not true? Well, no one knows besides my wife, possibly, if I brush my teeth. But you get the idea, right? I said true, yes. But you get the idea. It's because it's fast-forwarding to a thought that I'm trying to get to. But you get the idea, right? It doesn't mean that it's not less true. It's just helping us understand, again, the things of God. Yeah. The more that it's descriptive, the more that I can understand it, I can picture it, the more it helps. That's the basics of communication, right? Yeah. So, Genesis starts off in this beautiful garden that God places Adam and Eve, which you would say just man and woman. God places man and woman in the middle of this garden. He says, guess what? What did he say, right? I've created every tree pleasing to the eye and good to eat. So, he places them, beautiful trees, all imagine. Just, you don't even have to work the ground. It's all there just to eat and to enjoy. Imagine just living in Yosemite with God, and you can just pick food off the tree. But he said there's only one tree that you cannot eat from, because if you eat from this tree, even if you touch this tree, you will surely die. That was the only distinct tree, and it was called the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then right behind that tree in the center of the garden was the tree of eternal life. He said, you can eat of that. That one sounds enticing. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil doesn't sound too enticing, right? I should surely die. Well, here comes another character. Many of you guys know him as the devil. But for again, us to come to truth, not talk about a story. His real title is adversary, someone against God. Someone against God. Someone that I don't know if he's telling you the truth. So he goes up to them and he asks the woman. He says, did God say you can't eat of this tree? And she goes, well, you know, he said I could eat of it. All this, just not that tree. Because I would die. Maybe God doesn't want you to have it because you'll be like him. Would you want to be like him? Oh, that desire there. And so what does she do? She takes the tree and she eats it. Now, what is the difference between those trees? They were both pleasing to the eye. They were both good to eat. The difference was God said. God said that you would die. Now, the Creator said you would die. So would you trust that? Or would you trust your friend telling you, hey, I don't know. Right? That creation story is the story of every single one of us. God has said, and many of you guys will say, I don't know God, I don't know Jesus, I don't know who you claim God to be. But will we all, and even if you doubt, but logic says we all have a conscience. And that conscience attests, Scripture says, that conscience attests to God.
Yeah,
that he attests to God. And so the moment that you chose bad over good, the moment you did not obey God, that creation story is us choosing ourselves. This is the problem of the world. We did not trust God. I did not trust God. And this problem is called the me first attitude. The me first attitude. This is what is wrong with the world, right? And man, before I met God, the me first attitude was real. When it came to relationships, the me first attitude. I wanted sex. I wanted to be entertained by my friends. You were not my true friends. I just wanted to feel good and have a good time. Now, some of you guys might say, hey, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You know, hey, you're on the extreme side. You were a gangster. I'm just kidding. Many of you guys won't think that I was, but it was intense back then. But check this out. Now, some of you guys will say, chill out, right? Taylor Swift knows this. She graduated with a doctorate, so let me just have you. Put that quote up on Twitter. And this is what she says. Check this out. This is for you, Kenna. No, she says, I know it can be really overwhelming to figure out who to be and when. Who you are now and how to act in order to get where you want to go. I have some good news. It's totally up to you. Do you catch that? It's totally up to you. And she says, I also have some terrifying news. It's totally up to you. See, Taylor Swift gets that you have choice, and it is scary to have the option for your own life, not only just your own life, but the people around you. The choices you make every day, whether you think it or not, you're going to say, I'm going to be this person in the woods, I'll never affect anyone, right? The world says, hey, as long as you are not hurting anyone, be happy. Is that true? It cannot be possible. You all have mothers and fathers. Now you can say, well, my dad was kind of a jerk. Whether or not he was a jerk, he made a choice. Now you can make a choice. The me-first attitude is what we've all chosen. We have chosen ourselves over everyone else. And why should we? I used to believe, why should I get mad? Before Jesus, I literally was like, there are snakes in the grass. My parents didn't love me. I had an older brother, and they definitely loved my older brother than me. My dad said it today. He has said it, that he loved my brother more than me. I had friends who robbed my house that said, hey, we got you back, hey, we have this. And so I was like, there's snakes in this grass. What in the world, man? And so in return, what did I do? I said, well, nobody's for me. I'm gonna be for myself, right? But with choice and our desires and our limited perspective, it does not turn out well, right? What is the word that right now so many people hate, right? Or not hate, but when people are called this, it's the worst thing. Narrow-minded people. We hate narrow-minded people. Why? Because they don't have the full perspective. Right? You're so narrow-minded, you don't understand that person. Why are you treating that person this way? You're so narrow-minded, why don't you see the other side of what the government is trying to do? Right? It is what's divided the country. It's what divides friendships. It's what divides relationships. Narrow-mindedness. So, with a limited perspective, we choose a me-first attitude. Like I said, with a limited perspective, we choose a me-first attitude. But, see, you wonder why God created us this way. Why would he give choice? Because in Genesis, it says this, that we were made into the image of God. We are made into the image of God. You were made into the image of God. And what does that mean? Is that you can create. Now you guys can't create like God can create because you guys are not God. You guys cannot create nothing out of nothing, right? But you guys can create something out of your choice, right? Yeah. You can love someone, or honestly, you can kill someone if you want to, if the desire was big enough. And many of you guys think your desires are pretty little, not that big of a deal. But yeah, so why is it not that big of a deal? Because you're limited perspective, because you guys are narrow-minded. I was narrow-minded. I'm still narrow-minded. There's an imagery, can you pull it up, Javi? Of this elephant. Have you ever seen this? I don't know if you've seen it. But essentially, with your limited perspective, you can only see part of it. There's a person, these are blind people grabbing an elephant. This is how we all are operating. Once we chose the me-self attitude, we're blind. You guys cannot see what is good. You guys are blind. Look, one person grabs the husk or the tusk, and he says, it's a spear. Another person is up top, hitting the ears, and it says, it's a fan. Someone down there grabs the trunk and says, it's a snake. You have limited perspective. So who has the greater perspective? Again, ask that question. Who do you trust? Who has the greater perspective? Why should I trust that any of you guys have any greater perspective? Who's the person that's going to say it? And guarantee you, guess what? I don't even have to say you trust me. Because tonight I will tell you, you can meet Jesus. And he'll ask you, do you trust him? But yeah, we all have limited perspectives, and that is what is happening with this limited perspective. And the crazy thing is, we were made into the image of God. He wanted us to create. He wanted us to make choices, to do many and great things. But every time we've done something, it always has come out bad. Do you know there's a documentary, it's called The Social Dilemma. It's about all these people that created Facebook, that created Instagram, that did all this, and each one of them do not have their kids on it. They don't have their kids on it. They say, we quit, we stopped, because we saw what he was doing. We saw that the rate of kids dying, killing themselves. They saw that 14-year-old little girls were killing themselves because they didn't look pretty. But it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. And guess what their remarks were? They said that they created it for good. They thought, what better way, right? We can communicate. That's why it's a dilemma. We can communicate. They said they created the like button hoping that friends would be able to like someone else's picture and say, hey, I see that picture and it's fun. But then when a little girl did not get the likes as many as the other girl did, she didn't feel loved. She didn't feel known. She didn't feel seen. So in our limited perspective, we keep creating things that are not satisfying, things that hurt. And this is what C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis, if you guys have not read him, read him. Mere Christianity. He was an atheist. Yeah. He was an atheist. He lived around World War II. And this is what he says. Our desires are not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are too far easily pleased. You guys were meant for more. Meant for more. You were made in the image of God. The ability to create. I don't have a picture, and I hope that you guys see the movie. Is it called Encanto? Tori's Story. Tori's favorite movie. It's a Disney movie. I didn't understand it, but I've been watching it over. Me and Tori always have to go on trips, and Encanto seems to always be on. But most of these people get powers, right? I don't know if you've seen the movie. But the premise of the movie is that there's this magic house and they give the people that live there powers. Some are strong, some can create flowers, and some can create storms or create sunshine. And when that girl is mad, she creates storms and hail, and it's bad. And guess what? You guys all have that power. You guys all have that ability to create something. The moment you make a choice is the moment you create something in your life. Something that has never been done. There is no one like you. And there is no ever any moment in the moment that you make that choice. I know it sounds crazy, but hear me. There's no one at this day that has made the choice of you sitting there in this chair. You say, well, the rest of the people did. No, no, no. Your story is different. You start asking the person next to you and say, well, my friend brought me. Well, I saw it on Instagram. Your choices are creating chain reactions over and over and over. So you have choices with a limited perspective. perspective, you have a power far greater than you don't even imagine. That is scary. And what's happening? What is happening right now? What are we seeing? We are seeing an epitome of that. Do you know that it is only getting worse? And the last century, the last 20th century, was the most deadliest century out of every other century. The 1900s were worse than the 1800s, than the 1700s. It was literally millions of people died at the hands of others. I don't even think millions is the word that I'm supposed to be using. I think that it's more. So you guys were made in the image of God. We have the ability to create love. We have the ability to care and share. And far better than what you can imagine what it means. We have the ability rather to be consumed and to hunger to give. You can be satisfied. And more than you be satisfied, you can give. You may have had a first me first attitude, but God didn't. But God didn't. He was selfless. Even despite the way the world is going and how it's been going, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Himself away despite these snakes in the grass. And let me tell you, it is worse than snakes in the grass. He gave Himself away. He gave Himself away to the people that create evil, that intend good, but create selfish. Oh, I want a relationship, and I'm going to give everything to that person. I'm going to love them, but secretly, it's because I want to be loved. And He gave Himself away without any of us acknowledging Him. He's the one that created you. He's the one that gave you the power. He's the one that said, you were made in the image of me. And yet, none of us wanted. But He still gave Himself away. And what do you mean that He gave Himself away? It says that there is some very, very good news for us. Some very good news. That we can be satisfied. That He gave His only begotten Son. That Jesus, you understand the problem of evil. There feels like there's no justice anymore, right? Like I said, who do we trust? Do we trust the court system? Do we trust the cops? Who do we trust to deal with it? Because there are some bad people getting away with things. Some bad people. And again, you're like, oh, well, I'm not as bad as them. But man, it hurts. It hurts when you hurt, you know? When my son cries, it hurts me. Even when I do not want him, you know, to cry and I have to discipline him, it hurts me. And I can't imagine more out of a selfish motive, how much more it would hurt. And there it's in. You know, and so how do we deal with all that? Like I said, Jesus came. Jesus came, and He said, I'll meet you guys where you guys are at. You guys don't understand me? I will meet you. He said, I'll meet you. He said, I'll sit with you. I will talk to you. I will show you the way. I will show you something far, far greater. But like I said, He first has to deal with what? The me first attitude, the selfishness of the world. He has to deal with judgment. How is He going to deal with that before He can meet with you? Because God is far more infinitely good than you guys are.
He's far more loving than you are, than your parents are. Guess what? He is a better father than your father. Far more greater. But yes, he said, I love you and I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. He goes, I have to take care of this whole entire world from beginning of time to the end of time, but I want to sit with you and talk to you about your day. I want to dream with you. I don't want you to sit in your mud. I don't want you to desire this mud pies that you keep making. I don't want you to be unsatisfied. I don't want you to be satisfied and to have life evermore. Life evermore that creates something more than yourself. That creates children. Man, I thank God every day that I get to create Santi. That Santi, literally, man, is so amazing. That's from God. I get to sit with him and watch him grow up and be a kid and laugh and giggle and fall a lot. But that's life. And again, imagery of what God intended to be. So much more of what's in your guys' hearts, right? So much more. You guys want to love people? You guys want friendship? You want your family to be okay? You want peace and you want joy? The beginning of those songs that we sang, I don't know if anyone really resonates with it. But we want that. And he says, I know you want that. I know you want that. Because that's what I created you for. Yeah. But in my limited perspective, I can't get it. And so he comes down. He says, I have to deal with justice. I have to deal with this. Because what you guys have been creating is so evil. What you do when you hurt someone, what you do when you have sex, what you do, you are creating things that the way God did not intend it to be. He said, I'll deal with it. How does he deal with it? He comes down as man, fully man. Hard concept to understand. I don't care to understand it. I care that he's God and I know him. Because he came down as man. Walked the walk that we were supposed to walk. He was a child as you were a child. His parents didn't understand him. How many people can resonate with that? His parents didn't understand him. His friends betrayed him. His friends, when he needed them the most, left him. The people that said, hey, we're for you. They killed him. He was put up against against another man. This guy, this other man, was a murderer. The justice system failed him because they said, they offered him up. They said, would you rather kill this man or would you kill Jesus? And Jesus done nothing but give. He gave himself away. He spent time with people. He fed people. He healed people. Still doing that today. He cried with people when they died. And he ate with them. Nothing. And you may not believe it. The question today is, who is Jesus to you as well? But everyone can agree, scholars can agree, Jesus was real. Yeah. No one has a doubt that Jesus wasn't real. Everyone believes it. And so, Jesus died on the cross for us. He died on the cross for you, he died on the cross for me, because of the things that I've been creating, demand justice. When I have hurt my parents constantly, when I've hurt the girls that I tried to sleep with, and I did sleep with, when I hurt my friends, when I led them astray, when I thought what I was doing was for good, And it was really for my selfish desires. He died for that. He died for me and you.
The story, though, does not end there. Because we were meant for something more. He wanted to show us that he loved us. And that he's good. And he did that. Many people do not know that. Many people do not know that. But he did. He did it. He wanted you guys to be known. He wanted you guys to be seen. He wanted to care for you guys. He wants to comfort you guys. He wants you guys to have joy. Joy. Man, he wants you guys to create life that does things so far. So far than you could ever dream of. I'm telling you, I never thought I was going to walk into a church. And the things that I've done, the people that I've hung out with, the people that I've talked to, the friendships that I have now, a lot of people, and I'm talking to my small group leaders, do not like small group leading because it's hard work. But do you know why a lot of the things are hard for us to do what God is asking of us? Because we're still trying to find those things to satisfy us. And he says, what is eternal life? And what he says, and when Taylor talked about he is the way, he says, come to me. Come to know me. Come to know Jesus. He's alive today. Many of you guys do not understand that concept, but he is alive. I'm going to call, you know who's supposed to come up here. I don't know who it is. Lydia. But he's alive today. He's alive, and you guys all have the choice. Do you want to trust Jesus and what he wants for you? That he wants the best for you? You guys all have a choice. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to talk to him. He gives you that. He gives you that dignity. You have the choice to follow him. But let me tell you, in your limited perspective, to follow God, it is going to be an adventure. It is going to be something like nothing you've ever experienced. But in your limited perspective, it is going to feel horrible. You go, God, I don't know how to love. For the last 20 years, I don't know how to love. Be honest with you guys, when I first had Sandy, I didn't know how to love him. He just cried and cried and cried and cried, and I felt so angry and so frustrated. And I said, but this is my son. How in the world do I love him? And I couldn't figure out a way. I could not figure out a way. And you know what I did? I went to Jesus. I went to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I don't know how. I am frustrated and I'm fed up and I am so tired. And Jesus said, I know. Would you sit with me? Would you be with me? I said, that's all I can do. I don't know what else to do. And I got to know him as Father. I got to know God as Father, who comforted me, who held me in his arms. And I know, you tell me, how does that happen? But I tell you, God is real. And he held me in his arms. He let me cry and he let me complain. And he held me and he let me cry and he let me complain. And I've never felt so comforted, so peaceful, sitting there with him. To know him, to know that I'm comforted, to know that I'm known, to know that I'm seen, and to know that I'm heard. And when I knew him as Father,
I knew how to be a father to my son. Now, when my son cries, I hold him, and I hold him tight, and I tell him, I want you to know that you're known, that you're seen, that you're taken care of, that I will make sure nothing bad happens to you. In the limited perspective that I have, I will fight that nothing would hurt you. And Jesus, not in his limited perspective, in his internal being, in his creation, said, I will fight to know you, to be with you. I will call out to you every day when you don't want me. I will call out to you. I will meet you with your small group leader. I will meet you at Chi Alpha. I will call you in the classrooms. You have no idea how much he calls to you in your limited perspective. See, I had no idea. I had no idea he was calling out to me. When I came to him, and this is the only way to come to him. This is the only way to come to him. It is not a requirement. It is an accepting of him. And what do I mean by that? When I walked into that church, I don't remember a thing the pastor told me. But I was broken. I knew I needed something more. I didn't believe in God. I didn't trust God. I did not trust Christians. More or less did I trust the snakes in the grass, right? But I got on my knees. The pastor calls for an altar call. I did not know what an altar call meant. I got on my knees, and this is the requirement. It's to say that you need a Savior. You need help. You need help. He will not come to those that do not ask, because he is not a forceful God. But what? To say I need help is to say I am completely wrong. I have led my life astray. I have hurt people countless times. I have hungered and have destroyed things that should never be destroyed. I look back at my past, that picture. I look at my friends. And I know that I was the one that was leading them to things that were not good. Food that was not satisfying. Food that could not fill their hearts. And I look back and I go, I wonder if I would have met you sooner, God, that they would see something far greater than what they're doing. Because it is so, so good. And so I came up to an altar. I came up to an altar and I got on my knees and I said, God, this is the words I said. God, I do not know if you're real. That's what I said. I do not know if you're real. But if you are, reveal yourself to me. That moment that I said something like that, that moment I said there is something greater than the me attitude. There's something greater than this world that I see. There's something greater than the alcohol that I drink. There's something greater than social media. There's something greater, and it is him. And he's not some far distant being. He is a personal God. Closer than any person you will ever know. And I met with him. And his name was Jesus. I met with him. I had never felt more comforted, more peace, more satisfaction than I ever felt than being at that altar. Nothing like I've never experienced before. And man, it took me 2 years to trust him with all of my life. And I regret it. After I met him, I questioned and I wrestled and I tasted the world over and over and again. And I said, there's nothing that tastes quite like you, God. There's nothing that tastes like you. I traveled the world. Nothing. like you. I go home every day in my bed alone. And nothing tastes like you. And he says, this is life. To know me. To know me. To know him. To know him. Man, to know him when you're 18. To know him when you're 18 and you're with your friends and you're having the time of your life. Not in the meaningless stuff. Not in the meaningless stuff. And the stuff that's true joy, the stuff that is from him, the stuff that he says is good. But I'm gonna be done. But to get there, to have all that he has to offer, you have to say, not me anymore. Not me anymore, God. I have a limited perspective. I've hurt, I've destroyed. But you're willing to meet with me. So much so that it costed you your life. See, we don't meet with him because he has an eternal perspective. We don't meet with him because he is creator. We meet with him because he loved us. Yeah. What is eternity without love? We meet with him because he loved us. I get to go on and be with him. Forever and ever. And there are some people that call themselves Christians today and will say, hey, I'm unsatisfied. You see the problems in your life and you claim to call a Christian, but you do not know him. You only know him in that moment you met him. There's so much to know him in. Many of you guys do not know him as deliverer. That he can free you from the things you're still dealing with. He can free you from that. If only you would ask. And so, like I said, it's a choice. You can choose to trust him. Come up here. Meet with him and know more of him and continue to know more of him. And yeah, but the choice is truly yours. And so Lydia's going to play a song and I'm going to ask people to come up here, not because I have to, not because I'm demanding it, but because like I said, for you to able to receive him means you to say that I will accept it. It means you to say that my hands are open. I offer my life to you. I offer my life to you. Do with it as you will. And man, it is a joy. It is fun. It is life-giving. It is loving. I just want more of it every day. That song said it gets better and better. And it does. It literally does. And so Lydia's going to play. If you have not met Jesus, I promise you he will meet you. He will meet you. Come. And if you know him, but there are things you're not trusting him, come and give them to you and see what he can do more in your life. Know more of him and what you are holding on to. Cool? So if everyone wants to come, if you go ahead. Thank you. wandered leader. You guys can talk to me. Each one of those small group leaders will fight for you guys to know. I'll fight for you guys to know. But I'll pray. Thank you guys for being so patient. I definitely went over time. I probably won't come back again because of the time. But thank you guys for being here. And the next time, next week you come, we'll be stopped at 8. So don't be afraid to come. But I think that tonight Jesus wanted to meet with some of you people. And so, yeah. But cool, I'll pray and we'll be back. Jesus, you are so unfathomably good. You are the epitome of everything we ever wanted. You are eternity, and you meet with each and one of us. Oh, King Jesus, would more of your kingdom be revealed to us? Would we hunger for righteousness? Would we hunger for your love? For what you have to offer? For friendship with people that bring us closer to you? Would we hunger and hunger more? Would we take up the mantle that you come to do? Would we make disciples because we hunger more of your love and we want to experience you and know you more and more? And I pray for those that are not sure what I'm saying, are confused, are lost, Lord. I pray that they would ask because you said, come and taste that I am good. Jesus, we love you so much. Love you so much. Would you be in each one of these lives, oh God? Fill them up. Fill them up. That they walk away satisfied in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.